the name of the Lord today. I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Revelation, chapter number 10. Revelation, chapter number 10. In Revelation chapter 10, starting with the first verse, John says, "And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire, and he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot upon the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write him not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and sware by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets, that is reading the first seven verses of Revelation chapter number 10, that which the Lord has impressed on my heart. John's description thus far has taken us into the dark days of the 7 years of tribulation coming upon the earth after the rapture of the church. John has watched as the seals her open. John saw her hundred and 44,000 servants sealed by God as the seventh seal was opened. John heard that seven trumpets were about to sound. As those seven trumpets began to sound, God began to bring judgment on the earth. Once again, their judgments affected the seas, the rivers, the fresh water supplies, the sun and the moon and the stars. The Bible says was diminished by one third apart. In John chapter, Revelation chapter 9, John describes a demonic horde that are released from the bottomless pit as a swarm of locusts would cover the earth. John said those demons were attacking people on the earth. Then John describes a demonic army of 200 million that were coming across the world. The Bible tells us that it was a horrible time of judgment. I'll be honest, it is hard to fathom just how bad it's going to be. Some would ask, preacher, do you really believe those things are going to happen? I believe it just like the Bible says that there will come a time of judgment on the earth. But now in chapter number 10, it is like God hits a pause button. God has done it before. John would be seeing judgment, and then God would let him see something else. And that is what happens in chapter 10. John is allowed to see once again that the Lord is in complete control. God allows him to realize that everything is in hand and all his own schedule. John is able to realize that God in him will be triumphant. hand all his way on the old heaven's side. I'm gonna talk about what John saw in a minute. But I want you to notice what this said in verse 7. Verse 7 says, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. We read that he said that the mystery of God should be finished. That is a statement of fact. John is saying there is coming a day when the answers will be given. That God is not going to leave us hanging in the dark. That God is not going to keep us in suspense. It tells us that there is coming a day when we will see the puzzle of the ages solved. I want to preach today by the help of the Lord for just a little bit on the thought when God reveals the reasons why. When God reveals the reasons why. I'll get to some of that in time in the text. But I want to first of all say something about the magnificence of the messenger. John says in the first verse, and I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed in a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. There's been a lot of discussion and some disagreement about who the messenger is that John saw. I read some commentators that they said it was just another mighty angel that God had sent down to earth. But the vast majority of those I read believed how I believe that it was another than the Lord Jesus Christ. John described him as a abiding messenger. That's what the word angel means. John said he was a abiding messenger come down from God. Now you've got to realize that John is familiar with Old Testament passages and thoughts. And often in the Old Testament, Jesus appeared as the angel of the Lord. He did that to Abraham. He appeared as the angel of the Lord to Jacob. He appeared as the angel of the Lord to Joshua and also to Gideon. So it wasn't unusual for the Lord to appear in Old Testament times as the angel of God. So I believe that this is the Lord Jesus Christ. But not just based on that, but also based on His appearance. John said He was clothed with a cloud. John is saying, when I saw Him, He was wearing the cloud like a garment, clothed with the cloud. That symbolizes the power, the majesty, and the glory of God. You'll find at other times God came in a cloudy appear. You'll find He did to the children of Israel. God appeared on the mount with Moses, and He covered him with a cloud. God also in Matthew chapter 17, when Jesus was transfigured, God overshadowed the mount with a cloud. That declares the glory, the awesomeness, the mighty power of God. John said, I saw Him, and He was clothed with the clouds. Psalm 104, verse 3, says about God, who maketh the clouds His chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind. So John saw Him clothed with a cloud. But John said a rainbow was upon His head. That rainbow speaks about the multicolored splendors of God. Every time we see a rainbow in the skies, we realize that God put it there. Artists may try to capture the colors of the rainbow on canvas, but they never are able to do it justice like God paints it in the skies. Oh, it speaks of God's splinter, but also the covenant keeping of God. God told us to Noah he would never destroy the earth by a flood again. Said as a token, I'll put my rainbow in the sky. That was thousands of years ago. But God is still keeping that covenant. And every time a rainbow appears in the sky, it reminds us God is a covenant keeping God. Then John said his face was as it were the sun. Back in the first chapter, verse number 16, John saw him on the Isle of Patmos, and John said his countenance was as the sun shineth in Sharon. John said his face shines like the sun. John is talking about how Jesus reflects the glory of God. But then John said his feet were as pillars of fire. Again in chapter 1, verse 15, John said his feet were like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. John is telling us the mighty messenger that he saw was none other than Jesus Christ. John saw him that day. But then here's where we're heading. The message of the mighty messenger. Notice what he says in the second verse. And he had in his hand a little book. That all reminds us of chapter 5. Because John said a search was made. Nobody was found worthy to take the book out of the hand of he sat on the throne and to loose the seals. But the Lamb of God that was seen in the midst came and took the book and began to open the seals. John says, hell, it's an open book. The seals have already started being opened. John says the book was in his hand. And he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth. John said, when I saw him, he had the book open in his hand. John said, with his right foot planted on the sea, his left foot on the land. What is that symbolic of possession? Jesus was saying, I hold it all. It's mine. Across the world. North, south, east, and west. Land and sea. It is all mine. I want to tell you, this world thinks they're the ones in charge. But there is one in complete control. And one day, He's gonna set his feet on the hand and see, declaring it's mine. Declaring it's mine. It denotes his authority. Christ standing on the earth, the book in his hand. What a picture. What a picture of Christ. I want to tell you, he goes on in the third verse, says he cried with a loud voice, and then a lion roareth. And when he cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. John says, when I heard him cry, sounding like the roar of a lion. You see, you've got to recognize Jesus Christ as both Lamb and Lion. If you never see him as the Lamb, you'll never be saved. Oh, Adam taught him a lesson about the Passover lamb. Paul wrote in Corinthians, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. We have to see him as the Lamb. But we also need to see him as the Lion. You see, the Lion is called the King of Beasts. So we've got to recognize that he's not only Savior, but he's the King of Kings. And he's the Lord of Lords. Back in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 5, it calls him the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Acts chapter 8, verse 32 says, as a lamb before her shearers, so he opened not his mouth. John said, I saw him roar, hurting like a lion roaring. But John said, seven thunders uttered, sounded. John in verse 4, John said, and when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered and write them not. John tells us about a sealed message. Preacher, somebody may ask, what did the seven thunders utter? I'm going to tell you. We don't know. Don't have a clue. Somebody that comes along and says, I can tell you what the seven thunders uttered in Revelation chapter 10. They're wrong because God didn't tell us. And God told John, apparently John understood it all. Apparently John knew, because he said, when I heard, I started to write it down. And he said, God spoke from heaven. Said, seal it up. Don't tell it. It is a sealed message. But then there is a sure message that's here. He says in verse 5 and 6, And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. So what is he saying? Saying Jesus lifted while he had his feet on the earth and the sea, and the open book in his hand, raised his hand to swear by the Father in heaven, saying that there should be time no longer. You say, but wait, preacher, there's a lot of things yet that happens. There are things that are going to take place. The seventh trumpet and out of it, seven vials of judgment. What is he saying? The idea is there'll be no longer delay. But from this point, things are going to be happening faster and faster. God's not going to play around with it. God's not going to just continue on and on. But he's saying there's going to be no longer a delay. Things are going to take place quickly. But then there's the sweet message. I told you I wanted to talk about when God reveals the reasons why. Says in verse 7, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he began to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophet. That word history, it means something previously hidden or hard to understand. The word finished means to be brought to its destined goal. So he is saying there's going to come a day when the mysteries of life and the mystery things of God will all be ended. There's not a single one of us here today, but what we've had questions, then mainly the question, why? God, why did this have to be the way it was? Why did my loved one get sick with a disease that took him out of his life and left me here alone? Why did the baby I was carrying, why did it die and wasn't born? God, why do the wicked seem to prosper so, and I struggle so much in life? God, why does it seem that life is so unfair? God, why do bad things seem to happen to people that are so good and so faithful? Lord, why at times when I hurt so do you seem so far distant from my cries? Sometimes it's not only the question why, but the question when. God, when will you work? When will you heal? God, when will you answer? God, when will you save? God, when will you help? You see, Paul said that now we see through a glass darkly. It's like a smoke-filled glass that you just can't see through. We were laughing coming into the parking lot today because there was such a fog over the area. Here, a few weeks back, Jennifer said that it was really foggy one morning at their house. And they asked to wear real thick glasses. He don't see well. And he walked outside and saw the fog. Jennifer said he was going. He took his glasses and he looked at them and he put them back. And he finally he said to his mom, "White darkness. That's what he called the fog." I want to tell you that's sometimes how we feel like we're at. Feel like we're in a white darkness. Sometimes we try to take off and see better and try to understand it, and we just can't understand these things. Why doesn't God do something? But he says there's coming a day when mystery will be changed to manifestation. There's coming a day that God's going to reveal the answer to the mysteries of our life. What a day that's going to be. I've had so many questions in my ministry and in my life. I've had so many questions. I've dealt with so many church members through the years of pastoring that I watched them get sick and die, and they were some of the best church members. And I wonder, God, why'd you take them? I've seen some that were young in age and dealing with such physical illness and problems and difficulties, and I've wondered, God, why? But there's going to come a day. We may not understand it all here. We may not get the answers here. But you can take verse 7 to heart, that there's going to come a day that the mystery of God should be finished. That God's going to reveal the reasons why. I say to you today, child of God, take courage. Keep pressing on. May not understand down here why you hurt, why you're sick, why you go through what you go through, why the Lord chose to leave you to live without a partner in life because He took them home. But just take courage. There's coming a day God will answer it all. That's the message of my heart. I saw that this week and I thought, oh Lord God, I need that so bad. I need that so bad. Just to be reminded that one day you're going to tell the reasons why. I don't know what needs you may have. There may be someone today that you're dealing with discouragement at heart, dealing with problems in life, that you just need the touch and the help, encouragement of the Lord. I want Kevin to give us a song, and we're going to stand in just a moment. And there may be somebody that you need to find your place around in the altar and say, Lord, would you help me? I get so out of heart. I get so discouraged. But help me to trust you till one day. you give us the reasons why. Just hand to our feet. If there's a need, would you come?